Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's getting to be time to get down to business, Jeffrey. Have you done your Christmas shopping? I mean, in 2 weeks from today, if my math is correct, it's going to be Christmas Eve.
You know the answer to this.
In 2 weeks from today, it's Christmas Eve. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had an extravagant, so I've decided I'm going to Connecticut for Christmas to be with my sister, which was a spur of the moment thing. Is we're not having a big family get together, but I'm just going to go up on the 23rd. I'm going to come, and we're going to drive back because I got to get one of my kids' cars back here on the 26th. So that's it, just a quick trip. But what that means is I got to order everything and ship it to Connecticut.
Yeah,
right. You know what I mean?
So you
I can't,
do actually have. To
I can't
ahead.
Be yeah. getting it the day before, as is my. As would be typical, I'd head off to Oak Hall or the weekend before and shop. So I'll still do some of that, but I do have to get some stuff. And I actually tried to order something yesterday, and it said will be delivered on the 26th. Already it said that.
That's tough.
Already it said that. But I ordered three things online. I called you about one of them.
Yep.
Ben wants a new golf bag. Ask me what I know about golf bags. Nothing. Nothing. I know nothing about golf bags. So Ben wants a new golf bag. And whatever. I ordered three things and I immediately got a fraud alert on my phone.
Mm.
Which they're on top
of the year, yeah.
Here's the thing. They know I don't know anything about golf bags.
Yeah.
That's how well they know me.
Correct.
And
there's no reason he'd be buying this.
This is deeply suspicious here. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be buying a golf bag. And there were a couple other items. And so I immediately get the fraud alert. In fact, they canceled one of them. So I don't want to be spilling all my surprises here. But listen, I called Ben back and said, here's the thing. Where are you on specificity of a Christmas list? In other words, I think there's three ideas here. Right? One is, on the far extreme, it is, surprise me. Get me what you think I want, or what I don't know that I want, or what you would like. You know me. Get me anything you want. Or I don't want anything. Just get me whatever you.
Which okay. We both agree is a test.
There's that. Okay. Well, forget the anything thing. Just like I'm not going to give you a list. Okay. The second version of this would be, I'll give you some ideas. Here are five things I want, but I'm not going to like. Yeah, I'd like a golf bag. I'd like some, you know, some outerwear, some sweaters or something like that. Need a new headphones.
Sure.
Okay. Whatever. The third, but not a really long, exhaustive list, but a list with some things that, okay, here's some things I want. The third category of this is, here's some things I want, and here's the link to the actual thing. Like, here's the golf bag, here's the sweater, here's the...
which is essentially a registry.
It's essentially a registry, but you're getting them
right.
Exactly what they want.
Right.
So, as a giver, I would ask you, I think one is unacceptable. To not give me any ideas if I ask for ideas, and I'm talking about this mostly from either kids or a partner or a spouse, right?
Someone. Yeah, you're just describing every conversation I have with my mother.
Well, it's at some point, if she really doesn't want anything, that's
different. No. I'm in the other way around.
Oh, you don't say.
My mom's like, "What do you want?"
I'm gonna come down. I think it's your obligation to give her some ideas.
Right, and I'm with
Why
you.
Why don't you?
Well, more times than not, she's like, she's putting me on the spot, and I'm not really a big stuff guy.
Yeah, that's fine, but you're going to get stuff, so don't you want to, and you want to be a good son, don't you want to give her some good ideas?
No, I mean,
You know you'd like a gift certificate to a restaurant? Like you want, or you could say, I'm not a big stuff guy either. I did ask all three of my sons for the same thing, right? One gave me, for the first time ever, I got a list with links. Now, they weren't get this exactly, but they were, here's the type.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's the type. The second one, son, actually came up with some raw basic ideas, Andrew, but didn't, and he never does, so I was grateful for that. And then Peter,
but
I've
no
asked.
Specifics,
Peter,
right?
But yeah. No specifics. Yeah. I'd like a handheld mixer.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Peter, I've asked him four times, and he gives me nothing.
Good man.
Nothing.
Good man.
So I just bought him stuff.
Yeah, this was the problem. I realized my mom was going to just start doing that.
I think it's disrespectful behavior.
No, and so I acknowledge I'm not in the right here. I think the thing that helped me out was getting married, because now I can.
She has a list of things you need.
Well, exactly. It's just like get. My mom, whenever my mom's like, I was like, get Aaliyah this. Because then that way Aaliyah doesn't yell at me for spending money and she gets what she wants.
You can say.
That way, and because I don't, like, again.
I mean, it's a couple gift.
Yeah, and it's not even really, it's more of like, get stuff for Aaliyah because if I get it for Aaliyah, she's going to yell at me for spending money.
Oh,
and then now I'm not going to get yelled at and she gets what she wants.
Don't they still have to get something for you? She's your mother. I mean, won't she feel the obligation? I know you don't feel that, but won't she feel the obligation? I get it. If it's a sweater that she's getting for Aaliyah, that doesn't satisfy her need to get you something. If it's a new rice cooker.
Sure.
That does, because you can at least fool yourself in saying that's for both of you. But a sweater for Aaliyah as a gift for you does not work.
Yeah, but I would argue like the getting Aaliyah the spa day does work for me.
Man, a stretch.
I'm telling you, like that, because it's like then she comes back in a better mood.
Happy.
Everybody's.
But then who's taking care of the kids? Spa day and take care of the kids during spa day.
But my daughter's easy right now.
Right. My advice to people is: I think if people ask, you have to give them something. You have to actually supply them with some things you might like. It doesn't have to be. Now, my dad would get this is the days of catalog shopping.
Yeah.
Sears catalog shopping, he didn't want to be told exactly. Page 67 of the Sears catalog, whatever.
Right.
He didn't want it highlighted,
Dad.
He didn't
it's
want
circled.
He called it the E. Calkins shopping list.
Yeah.
He didn't want that. He didn't want that, but he did want, if I knew I wanted a watch, he would then invest himself in getting the best watch. In terms of that other thing that we briefly talked about, if someone says they don't want anything, that is fine as long as it is true.
Totally agree.
It is fine as long as it is true. I have told Claire, I don't need any. Now, if she has this thing she wants to get me, that's fine. But I won't be offended. I don't need or want anything. And the same thing, she has said the same thing. Now, Is it a violation? If those things are true, okay, it's not fair to say that and then resent it. That is if you don't get something. But here's the question. If you have the, we don't need to get anything, I don't want anything agreement, is it a violation if you see something that she really wants and you get it anyway? Is it a violation of the pact because it then makes her feel bad that she didn't get you something?
This is where I just say it depends.
On whether people are reasonable?
Well,
I don't think it's a violation of the pact.
I don't think it's a violation.
If it's not big.
If the recipient is not going to feel guilty.
But how do you determine that?
That's
you've
got
to know your partner well enough to know whether they're going to feel guilty. And I don't think it can be too big and showy.
Correct.
Because then
you can't get a car.
It's designed.
Right? As Aaliyah's always said, she
goes,
we're
not going to get it.
She thinks those Lexus or, no, it's not, yeah, the Lexus and then the GMC commercials where the spouse just gets the other one a car. She's like,
call up the SNL. Have you seen that one? The SNL car commercial. Christmas car SNL skit where you walk out and there's a giant ass ribbon. On the...
Yeah, the December to Remember.
The December... It's the... who does December to Remember? Is that
December to Remember is Lexus.
Is that Lexus, December to Remember? It would be nice to walk out and see a giant-ass ribbon on a
well,
Mercedes
she just
out
said,
front.
Thanks, you gave me a car note.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, it's one thing. Are you paying cash for it?
No, if you pay cash. If you have enough money to pay cash, the problem is that you're sucking it out of your mutual bank account. If you have a mutual bank account,
that's the other problem.
That doesn't work.
I can't
work.
Really buy stuff without her knowing it.
You don't have this.
I have it. No, okay,
here's a little. We didn't know her in this. We're trying to get you in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. It's only 2 weeks from. This is it. Like, this is 2 weeks from today. If you haven't figured it out, you're going to be running around on the 24th. Here's a little sample of how not to do it.
Well,
we think.
I thought this was a little sample of how not to
we
do
think.
It. Now we've got.
Okay.
Hey, Matt, I think there might be one more gift for your mom right there.
It hasn't been a normal year, so this Christmas, get her something extraordinary during the Lexus December to Remember sales event.
Nathan, you didn't.
With flexible financing at 0% APR, there's never been a better time to buy or lease a new Lexus.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Are you kidding me, Nathan? Did you seriously buy a car without asking me?
Well, because for Christmas...
This is a major purchase.
Right, but it was a December to remember.
It's a Lexus. We don't have the money for this, Nathan.
We don't?
No, we don't. Your father doesn't... Your father hasn't worked since last March.
What?
Yeah, COVID has hit a lot of people hard, and I'm no exception.
Nathan, you got fired in March 2019. COVID had nothing to do with it.
Hey, pal, I guess your old man's busted.
It's beginning to look a lot like savings, so get to your local Lexus dealer today.
How much did you spend on this ridiculous car, Nathan?
It was only $39.99 to its signing. $4,000. It's not that much, babe.
And how much is the monthly payment?
The what?
Did you think this entire car cost $4,000?
Uh-huh.
There's a monthly payment!
Yeah, but with the 0% APR, I think it's all good.
APR? Do you mean APR?
I'm pretty sure it's APR.
Wow. Just wow.
Hey, come on. It's Christmas. This is good. I did a good thing for us. Let's enjoy it.
Dad, it's 9 in the morning.
So? It's not like I have work later. Come on.
Hey!
Hey, neighbor.
You bought a Lexus? You come to me 3 weeks ago. Oh, Mike, help me. I need money. I can't buy Christmas gifts for my family. My wife doesn't respect me.
I didn't say that.
My wife's cheating on me with everyone.
Mom, you are?
I want to look cool in front of my son's girlfriend.
Ew, Dad, is that why you pierced your ear?
No, I've had this forever.
I just need $5,000 to get back on my feet. And then you buy a Lexus?
Yeah, well, it was beginning to look a lot like savings at my local Lexus dealer.
I want my money back, man. Tomorrow.
Hey, Kathy.
What does that look?
You know what? We're taking this car back to the dealership now.
I better drive.
Maybe we stop by Jenna's on the way over. Show us a cool car your dad got.
All right.
Shut up.
Give the gift of Lexus.
There you go. That's not how to do it. All right, this public service announcement brought to you by the good people at 92.9.
Right. I can't wait till Lexus has to start running like we would do for gambling, problem gambling sport, for problem Christmas spending support.
Red line.
Yeah.
Red and green line.
Correct.
The red and green line. All right. Today on the radio show, we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Don't tell him. We know this, but it's his birthday. It's Chris's birthday. And I bet he's a big birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you
the
think?
Biggest.
Chris is going to be, woo, it's my birthday. Chris probably has a birthday week, don't you think? Different
month.
Different month. Yeah, exactly right. Anyway, wish Chris Harrington happy birthday. That's one of the things I like. The limited list, but I do like about Facebook is it alerts me to whose birthday it is. I get the list every day whose birthday it is among the various people who friended me. So I can out them on their birthday. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. He's in Miami. He said the cable guy will be visiting their new apartment in Miami during the Fishman Friday on Tuesday segment. So, yeah, we will see. We will hope that this cable guy, like so many cable guys, does not show up on time. Anyway, that's the lineup. Did you like the Simpson cast last night? Did you watch much of it?
So I watched a little of it. It was just so far behind that I was like, okay. The technology's fine, but, you know, it's not like 100% there. There were some good Simpsons jokes.
No, I'm not a Simpsons guy, so I didn't really get it, you know, but I went over there and I just think I found it to be strained. The play-by-play with Marge and I don't know, like.
I mean, I think it's kind of work in progress. Like, the technology's not quite there yet. You know what I mean?
So did you watch mostly the Manning cast?
Yeah.
And what was your highlight of the Manning cast?
Collinsworth, when Eli called out Collinsworth for, when Collinsworth was calling a Cowboys Giants game and said, Eli's just not that good of an athlete. That was pretty good. also Collinsworth called the walk-off touchdown and he walked it off. That was actually pretty good. Belichick stuff was mostly football-y.
Belichick, he did talk about his future, but that was more on the Pat McAfee show, which we'll get to in a moment. If I were a Cowboys fan, and let's be clear, I'm decidedly not a Cowboys fan, but if I were a Cowboys fan, I would have been perfectly happy with the results of that game. They're not going to the playoffs. They do tend to draft well. And I want a better draft pick. The end. I mean, they played perfectly. The gaffe. Do you think, by the way, do you think they knew the rules?
So I'm going to say no. And actually, I was a little confused myself because I think it's different if you block a field goal than if you block a punt. Because we were always taught if we blocked a field goal, you try to return it. Because it's our ball.
Right, I see.
Now, the block punt was obviously a different thing. Yes. I also think the ball kind of hopped
punt,
up
on him.
You just
don't want to touch it.
Yeah. Like,
I think what happens is, you know what it's like? And maybe you should be more highly trained than this. It's like if you're in the outfield and a ball is coming towards you and you want to catch it and you know you shouldn't reach in and interfere with your own player trying to catch
it.
But instincts kick in.
It's like fighting for a T-shirt in the T-shirt game.
I think instincts just kick in. And I know you are supposed to be such a highly trained athlete that instincts don't kick in, but whatever.
I will say what didn't help was Fossil was like on the sidelines going up and down, like, get away.
This would have killed me if it had meant something, but given that it only helped my draft pick, again, in this hypothetical world where I'm a Cowboys fan, I don't care.
You know,
did a good one. Did our team a solid.
I was thinking about this. So my buddy that came in from college is a Cowboys and a Texas fan. And I was with him. I was like, is it possible Texas fans and Cowboys fans have switched roles where we've considered Cowboys fans for being fake fans for so long? Like, it's a trope that now they've had so little success for, I mean, what they've had. Dak has, I think, 2 playoff wins. Romo, I think, had 1.
Yeah, but even their failures, not like, it's not even, they've never had a season recently like the Titans are having right now.
Right.
You know, my deal is totally demoralizing, chase you off from being a fan kind of season.
Right. But I kind of tip my cap to them. They keep showing up.
Yeah. You think Texas fans are fake?
I think there's a lot of bandwagon Texas fans right now.
Really?
Yes.
Anyway, would not have upset me in the slightest were I a Cowboys fan. And given that it was a meaningless, listen, this is a game that they would have abandoned and flexed. They would have flexed out of Monday night, except for the fact
they had the Simpsons.
They had the Simpsons stuff, and they had put too much work in. Given that it was a reasonably entertaining game,
you triggered something. Belichick, when talking about the Bengals defense, because like I think the big question is like, why are they this bad? His theory is they're just slow. Because at first, like when Dallas at times would run the ball pretty effectively, like he was basically just like, they can't get there.
Right.
And to me, that's
interesting insight.
Yeah.
Belichick did on the Pat McAfee show talk about this idea that he might go coach the University of North Carolina. And I'll be honest, it felt like he was making the pitch for himself.
I agree.
Here's what he said. Let me put this in capital letters. If I was in a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level and an education that would get the players ready for their career after football, whether that was the end of their college career or at the end of their pro career. But it would be geared towards developing the player, time management, discipline, structure, and all that, that would be life skills, regardless of whether they're in the NFL or somewhere in the business. I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League. That sounds to me like a guy who's selling himself for the job.
Yeah, and to me it's like, I need to know more scheme, because I think there are people that used to believe you could do that and that would lead to a successful program. But Nick Saban eventually had to go and start running RPOs and running the same modern. I would like to know, like, scheme-wise, because a lot of, I do think this has trickled up to the NFL, where I don't think that players are not as talented as they once were. Duh. Like, size, speed, everything. It seems to me that they are more talented than ever. I do not think that they're prepared to play NFL football. And so, but the problem is, that's not really how you win in college.
But I thought the point you made yesterday was spot on. I would be skeptical of Bill Belichick, who has, never seemed like a college coach. You know, if you take, like, Pete Carroll as your quintessential, now obviously he had success in the NFL too, but when he was at USC, a little rah-rah, a little enthusiasm, a little all that. If you look at Dan Lanning, you look at like that as your, it's just not Bill Belichick. He doesn't like talking to the media. He doesn't like being the voice of a program. Sure. He doesn't like schmoozing with alums. He doesn't like he just wants to focus on football. And being a college coach is being a CEO, administrative, glandhander, everything else.
It's politician.
Politician.
Yeah.
So seems wildly misfit for college football. Secondly, wouldn't think it would fit his own personal agenda, legacy, whatever, where he wants to catch Don Shula, et cetera. So I would be deeply skeptical of this, certainly in the old world of college football. But as you said yesterday, it feels like right now, talent acquisition comes down to, can you create enough enthusiasm among your supporters to create a giant pot of money so you can have the best players. And in his own way, not by his glad-handing, although we see, and we've seen this year, Belichick is much better at that if he wants to be. He just never wanted to be.
He never had to be.
He never had to be. Now he's making a living being funny and telling stories and relating to people and whatever on TV, for God's sakes. So, so he might well have the capacity to raise a giant pot of money, which, given his coaching ability, would those two things would be enough to
I guess the one succeed. Question, and I mean, I'm sure that this is being discussed by them, but Carolina has always felt to me like, we're fine having a football program as long as it doesn't interfere with basketball.
It still wouldn't. Oh, interfere financially. It might siphon off money that would otherwise be going to basketball. The rich are only so rich, and they have to give money to one place or the other.
Correct.
In other words, it would never overshadow. In other words, even Belichick, if it's successful for 5 years, even if he makes the playoffs, it won't displace Carolina basketball. But might it siphon off from money, some money from Carolina basketball? I think that is an interesting question. The other thing that happened last night is Penny Hardaway talked at his radio show. Obviously, after our show yesterday, the AP poll came out, and Memphis dropped out. I had no doubt they would drop out. We didn't even spend much time talking about it yesterday. I assumed they would drop out, and they did drop out. Penny did talk about that. He said, unfortunately for us, we don't get an opportunity to lose a game. Basically, the idea is they are punished in a way that is atypical for other teams in the top 25 if they lose a game. You know what? The problem is when they lose games to crappy teams. It's not like, Kansas lost to Missouri, right? And so, but Missouri's not Arkansas State. You know, like in the end, if you lose to crappy teams, it will blow a hole in your ranking. And that's the problem. If they had beaten Arkansas State and then lost to Clemson, they would not have dropped out of the top 25.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's not that they get punished for losing a game. It's they get punished for losing games that they shouldn't lose. They would have remained in the top 25 if you lost a road game at Clemson. They would not remain in the top 25 if you lose a home game to Arkansas State, and you're only 16th to begin with. That's the way it works. He also talked about it was interesting, and Penny's always interesting. He said he thought it was the best week of practice after the Louisiana Tech game because they had felt they'd almost let one get away. And I think that's another thing that was so demoralizing about Arkansas State was they had just had the scare.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, I always think, though, man, it's so hard when you get scared and you still win.
That's the opposite.
Yeah.
It reinforces.
Yeah.
We can truly F around and we still will pull it out.
We got this.
Okay, here's the thing. He also talked about guarding the three.
Yeah.
And listen, Arkansas State didn't shoot lights out from three, but when they needed a three, they were getting wide open threes.
That's kind of been
all year.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're like 305, something like that in the country.
We did see a little bit of old Penny last night because he said this. He said, those two games were set up for the opposing players to not get those threes off.
Game plan was perfect.
It's the old, we used to hear this early in the Penny tenure. It's the old, the game plan was perfect. The players didn't execute it. And I'm sure the game plan was not to let them shoot wide open threes.
No, I agree.
I'm sure that is true. The game plan was not to have them shoot wide open threes. Penny continues to say, and I endorse this, that this does not have to be like last year. And I guess the way in which you hope it is not is they lost last year and lost and lost and lost and lost and lost because of dysfunction on the team, players who didn't like each other, a total lack of chemistry. And so the losing was a product of that and became unending because of that. Here, the loss can just be a loss, right? If it's not the product of toxicity in the locker room, and I don't think there's any suggestion that it is, Penny's pretty clear that it's not. He's dialed in, players, whatever. He's basically chalking this up as just a game.
And that's fine. I mean, to me, it's like, what do you do after a loss?
Okay, so what do they have to do in their next four? We'll do the old, this is what we do. What would you take, Jeffrey? I am offering you 2-2, and the 2-2 will look like this. They will beat Virginia, they will lose to Clemson, and then I don't care. They'll split the two Mississippi games. Right now, by the way, Clemson ranked 16, Ole Miss 19, and State 25. So three of their next four against top 25 teams, they are going to split on the road, losing to Clemson, and then they are going to split the two home games against the Mississippi schools. I'm offering that to you now. You can lock it in.
Yeah, I'm going to take it because I think they're going to be an underdog.
They're going to be in three of those games. Well, it depends. We don't know if they'll be underdog. If they beat Clemson, they won't necessarily be underdogs to Ole Miss and State, both.
No, but they're going to be either way, they're coin flipping.
I would take
it. Essentially, what you're doing is you're giving me one upset win, and then I'm going to lock in one of the two coin flips.
Well,
or I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're giving me the game
I'm supposed to win.
Yeah.
And then you're giving me one of the coin flips, and then I'm
conceding they lost to Clemson, and then I'm only giving you one of the two coin flips.
Yeah.
I can see people who would reject this, but here's my larger point. What I really want for this program is still to make it into the damn tournament. That was the goal at the beginning of the year. That's what I want now. And the other thing I want is I want people to be engaged all year long. I don't want it to spin out of control. Like I'm really trying to avoid the holy crap, it's last year all over again, this is awful misery. And so 2-2 avoids that. It's not perfect. I don't even think it doesn't undo all the damage you did to yourself.
No.
But it does guarantee that going into the conference play, you can feel pretty good about yourself. You can feel like you did what, honestly, better than I think most people would have thought, taken as a whole, non-conference. And so it locks in feeling pretty good about yourself heading into conference play, whereas 1-3 does not. And so I am 100% taking 2-2 if offered to me.
And I think with 2-2, so that puts you at 9-4, that's also, it's not like last year where what? They were 11-2.
9-4 is good.
But not only that, hey guys, work's still going to be done.
9-4 is good. It also means like, all right, now let's go and win all the conference.
Right.
See if we can only drop two of these conference games.
Right. Keep everybody a little bit more locked in.
All right. We got Chris Harrington, the birthday boy, at 10 o'clock. We got a Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. We're going to come back. Play a little Writer Than Right.
Believe it or not,
when we return. Writer Than Right, that's Thursday.
That's Thursday.
I'm so anxious to get to it because it's been thrilling lately. But we're going to play Believe It or Not when we return. Before then, I will tell you, if you are looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to look. And I can say that as someone who, Claire moved here. She immediately headed over to the Bartlett location, set up an account. And they have an Arlington location. They've got fabulous technology, great rates. So whether you just want a new car loan for your new Lexus to remember, or
December
to remember, or whether you want new mortgage, or you're looking for a new financial institution because you're fed up, I would suggest you look at Leaders. We had a question the other day, and so we dialed the Leaders number, and you know what? Person who answered sounded like they live right here in West Tennessee. It was unbelievable. It was fantastic. A local financial institution, leaderscu.com. You can check them out, leaderscu.com/ESPN, or just download the app and get started. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's play Believe It or Not. If you look at combined college football and basketball programs, nobody in the country right now better than Tennessee.
They'd also remind you that baseball as well.
Throw that one in there, too. But I'm not going to do that because it complicates it. Okay. I'm going to put it not right now.
So
I'm going to put it better like this. Right now, the school that does football and basketball best right now is Tennessee.
I think I'll buy that. So...
You could argue Alabama. In other words, right now doesn't mean like this season's results. You know what I mean? Like, you could argue Alabama.
You could argue Alabama. You could argue Oregon, but I still think fan support's not. Like, to me, it's like Thompson Bowling Arena is usually full. Whatever the Oregon's.
Yeah. I'm, whatever. I'm mostly looking at results. But I mean,
so Bama has a Final Four. I guess you're right. I think you have to say Bama.
I think you have to say Bama.
Yeah, that's fun.
But if you go right now, like this season, Tennessee's number one in basketball, and Tennessee's in the playoff. Alabama's not number one in basketball, and Alabama's not in the playoff.
Yeah, and also the reason why Tennessee's in the playoff and Alabama's not is because Tennessee beat them.
What's interesting, of course, is this is something you've pointed out. Is this the fact that both of these are SEC school? Like, are we seeing the power, the financial power of the SEC being brought to bear right now, not just in football, where we clearly see it in football, but in basketball as well?
And maybe even more so in basketball because it takes fewer players.
And women's basketball and baseball. And, like, you're exactly right. The money just pours in, the money, the prestige, all of that. I wrote last week about what a nice moment it was for Memphis sports to have a ranked football team, a ranked basketball team, and the Grizzlies in the looking like an elite team in the playoffs. And obviously, over in Knoxville, they don't have the Grizzlies looking like an elite team in the playoffs. But my God, they're killing it in football, and they're killing it in basketball. Okay, let me ask you this. Here's the next one. If Tennessee is going to win a national championship year this year, their best chance is in football.
I think you have to say yes simply because...
They're already down to the final 12.
Yeah, you're down to the final, so now you're 4 wins away.
And you look at their history in basketball.
Well, and further, it's like
there's not much of a track record.
There's so much more basketball to be played.
There is much more basketball. Injuries can happen.
Correct. And losses can happen.
But in basketball, they're number one.
Right.
In football, they're not.
But they're number one, like, right now.
They're number one right now.
And it's...
They're not the betting favorites.
No.
Yes, absolutely. Great time, obviously, to be a Tennessee fan. The Memphis Grizzlies deserve to be, if you were ranking tiers, Jeffrey, the Memphis Grizzlies deserve to be in the same tier as Oklahoma City and Dallas in the West.
I'm going to say, I don't believe it. Only from the viewpoint, Dallas has proven that they can win the West. They did it last year. And so far, the returns are they have made themselves better than they were last year. Oklahoma City has taken advantage of roster construction and having young players that are valuable to allow them to have, I think, a deeper roster. And so I'm fine with saying the Grizzlies are at the top of tier two.
I think that's fair. But I bring this up because over at The Athletic, basically we're 25 games in here, and they're ranking according to tiers. And the top contenders are 1, the Cavs, 2, the Celtics, 3, the Thunder, 4, the Mavs, and 5, the Grizzlies. That's tier one. It may be optimistic. Tier two is Houston, the Knicks, Golden State, Orlando, Minnesota, Miami, and the Clippers. It is interesting. Some of those, I think, I think the Grizzlies are just in a better tier than Golden State. I just honestly look at the raw material on the team, right? I think they're, but are they really, Minnesota's figuring things out. Are they really in a different tier than Minnesota?
Are they really in a different tier than Denver?
Are they really in a, they're so different than Denver because one is the best player in the world and a thin bench, and one is the best bench in the world and three stars. I don't know that I think I would put them, maybe it's not right. I would put them very different teams, but maybe in the same tier as Denver and Minnesota.
And maybe this
But at the top of that tier.
Maybe this is also some protection, emotional protection. I think this team operates better when they're not reading how good they are.
Carson Beck will never play another college football game.
Yeah, I think I believe that. I think he had the.
So the,
it sounds
the,
like
what
he had
we're
the
having
Brock
is
Purdy.
The UCL injury, an elbow bruise slash tear, right? And they're going to reevaluate, and they're going to wait to see how it does. But you think he's done?
I think he had what happened to Brock Purdy in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles, and it's one of those things where, if he were a pitcher, he'd be done. But there is this reality of. Because you're not trying to max out, throw a football the same way you throw a baseball, that perhaps you can kind of survive it. Like Ole Miss's backup quarterback, Austin Simmons, is a pitcher for their baseball team, and they thought he tore his UCL, which would be Tommy John surgery. They did the rehab thing, and he was ready to go this fall, but that was also the spring to the fall versus. And we're talking, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
You would pick Georgia as the one team most likely to win the title, except because Carson Beck is going to be out or you believe him to be out, you will pick someone else.
Yeah, I think I do believe that.
Both of those things are true. You will pick them.
I liked their path better than I liked Oregon's path. But now it's like I know that, hey, if you've got a month to get Gunnar Stockton ready and figure out what you can do, that he will probably look better than he did for the entirety of the second half. I still think Kirby Smart was playing Carson Beck for a reason. That was their best chance to win.
That's very clearly true.
Yeah.
I mean, that is very clearly true that he was playing him for a reason, and I think it does. I think it is a huge blow to Georgia's. Listen, bad Carson Beck has been awful and would kill their chances, but good Carson Beck is their best chance of winning the national championship. So now you're going to win. Are you leaning towards Oregon? Is that who you would pick?
I still can't quit Ohio State. And Michigan's gone. The bad man's gone.
The bad man's gone. The Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown schism is bad news and will sink the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I don't think I believe that. It's funny how I try not to get too wrapped up in record. I care more about, what am I watching? And I know Sunday wasn't, the world's most dominant performance against the Panthers. But up until the Panthers game, and the Panthers have been playing much better, to be clear, they were really starting to find some form. And so I'm just not going to overreact. I think compared to last year,
sometimes
this time,
you
I was
look
like,
at
uh-uh.
yes, the record does not tell all. You have to look under the hood. But what you're looking under the hood for is what was going wrong last year.
Yep.
Under the hood, on the field, actually, it didn't look good. The numbers didn't look good. The fact that they ended up winning the games, well, that was great for them, but it covered up what bad stuff that was happening under the hood. Does this qualify as bad stuff under the hood when it is clearly A.J. Brown's discontent over the passing attack, right? Like, that's what happened here, is A.J. Brown is mad that he's not getting the ball more.
Yeah,
let's be honest, right? So then you've got Brandon Graham, the defensive end. He goes on the radio, and he says this: the person that's complaining needs to be accountable. I don't know the whole story, but I know that Hurts is trying, and Brown could be a little better with how he responds to things. They were friends before this, but things have changed, and I understand that because life happens. But it's the business side, and we have to make sure the personal doesn't get in the way of the business. He now realizes that that was not a smart thing to say on the radio. And
sounds like it was pretty honest, though.
It sounds totally honest. And he said, I made a mistake, and I assumed that it was something that it wasn't. I just want to win so bad that I don't just want to use the media when we need to talk about something and we can fix the problem ourselves. I didn't add to it in a good light, so that's my bad. I just assumed, and it made me out to look even worse because I had it all wrong, and now people are going to run with that part. I really just want to win, man, and I want brothers to be able to hash it out. That's that sentiment right there is so honest. It's like, I just want to win, and I want the brothers to be able to hash it out. But his assessment of what's happening is... The initial assessment of what is happening was 100% honest, and it was that Hurts is trying, and A.J. Brown could be a little less problematic in the way that he addresses things,
yeah,
complaining,
I mean,
publicly.
Water's wet, a receiver, yeah.
But that this does not strike me.
But there's a key difference this year. Saquon.
That's what I actually think. It doesn't run through A.J. Brown. That's what he's... The truth of the matter is what he's bitching about...
Is that he's been devalued.
Yes. He's been devalued. Like, did Stephon Diggs... I think there, Stephon Diggs actually did have a corrosive effect on the Bills' locker room. And so maybe it does. Like, maybe it does. Like, I think the Stephon Diggs-Josh Allen thing got in their way of winning games. Partly, though, because Stephon Diggs didn't catch the damn pass.
Well, that's a huge...
You know what I mean?
That's a huge part.
He didn't produce when given the chance on the field. He totally tanked the second half of the season. If he had been great when given the opportunities, and I still think A.J. Brown will be great when given the opportunities.
Yeah, I also think A.J. at this stage in his career is better than Stephon was last year.
Dramatically.
I think the other big difference, though, is the Bills deserve credit for making a difficult decision. But here was the decision, and so far they've been proven correct. The offense has to run through Josh. Josh cannot be sitting here trying to force feed in, you know. Like, Josh needs to have the full field at his disposal. And that's what he has this year. And he's been awesome. Like, he's playing unbelievably.
Yes. In other words, so their personality schism spilled over onto the field because it forced Josh to do stupid things in order to make him happy.
Yes.
Here's the truth. In Philadelphia, they're not forcing things.
No.
What they're doing is they're giving the ball to their best player, their best offensive weapon, and therefore A.J. Brown is unhappy. But it is not causing Jalen Hurts to do things that cost his team the chance to win, like it was with Josh last year.
And I would also argue this. Less is more with Jalen Hurts.
And less is more with Jalen Hurts. It is a little awkward. A.J. Brown just got an extension. Like, it's in the end, a receiver. It is interesting. You don't want Saquon Barkley if you're A.J. Brown.
No.
The right four players were invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony. And they were, of course, Travis Hunter, Ashton Gentry, Dylan Gabriel, and Cam Ward. No Shador.
Am I missing someone egregious? Yeah.
You could have had those six. But what they do is they don't, by the way, this is not a subjective...
Dylan Sampson's numbers better than Scataboo?
I don't know the answer to that. You can look it up. Was he
the most overlooked running back of the year?
Possibly. Yeah, you don't even hear him.
Right. And he was awesome.
And he was awesome. But what they don't make some subjective judgment of who we want to
right,
see
it's
in
based
New York.
On the voting.
They look at the voting and they see, oh, this is the break. This is there's a clear separation. If there'd been a separation and Shadur was in the top five and then there'd been a break before Scataboo, then that's where they would have made the break. What they saw was there's these four guys and then there's a separation. Honestly, there's probably a separation between those four guys
too.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
But I
imagine there are four because there's really two.
There's probably two, but there was, okay, between, it wasn't, Dylan Gabriel and Cam Ward were probably close.
Right.
And then there was a drop-off from Cam Ward to whoever was next.
And I would imagine Dylan Gabriel and Cam were close, but they were not close to Jinty.
Right.
And so I'm fine. I think they got it right.
You could have had more. Like, it is interesting. There were a bunch of compelling figures in this year's college football season, don't you think? I mean, I think Scataboo came on late, like we sort of realized, or his public perception came late.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Dylan Simpson had an unbelievable year.
Like, Dylan's sitting here with 1,400 yards, 1,485 yards.
How many does Scataboo have?
He is ahead of Scataboo. Scataboo missed more games, though. So Dylan has 5.8 yards per carry. How many touchdowns? 22 touchdowns. I mean, basically, like,
here's the thing, though. He clearly, as good as he was not in the category of Ashton Jeanty.
No.
You know what I mean? So you did not, there was clearly one running back who was so dramatically better than every other running back, basically, than has ever lived, except for Barry Sanders, that you don't really need to have another running back.
I'm sorry, Scataboo, it didn't include Saturday, so now Scataboo's ahead at 1568.
There is such a huge drop off of running back. You don't need another running back. And so then here's what you had. You had the player who will win it, because he's unique, two-way player, electric, we've never seen it before, Travis Hunter. Then you had a otherworldly, historic rushing season, the second best that we've ever seen ever. And Barry Sanders, people thought that was never going to be touched. And then you had the best quarterback on the best team, and then you had a quarterback who carried his team all season long.
Honestly, the guy that might have the biggest gripe is Dylan Gabriel. He's the quarterback of the only undefeated team.
For not being...
I mean, normally this is a... Like, this would be his
normally
award.
Normally you win. But normally you don't have... And in a normal year, he would win. But normally there's not a Travis Hunter, and normally there's not an Ashton Jeanty.
See, I think this is the key difference. I think what really changed...
More teams are relevant.
Exactly.
I think that's true, too.
The fact that it was a 12-team playoff, even though Colorado's not in the playoff, they were part of the story.
D'Angelo Williams, for example, if that Memphis team... Now, they didn't win their conference. But, like, for example, if that Memphis team had been Boise State, then he would have been...
Absolutely.
He would have been recognized
like,
as opposed to it's just like, you're off doing this in their hinterlands and nobody cares. You're doing it for a team that makes the playoff. People care in a different way.
100%.
I agree with that completely. All right. Chris Harrington coming up next. If you're selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. Simple as that. 901-461-8147. Josh has thebuyers.com. Flexible fees. No upfront cost. Just meet with him. That's what I did when I first started doing these spots, because I'd heard Gary doing them. And, like, you come away just blown away. Flexible fees, no upfront cost. Let you out of your contract at any time. Plus, the just unbelievably comforting knowledge that if he can't sell your home, he will buy it full price, full market value. And so that's, in this difficult, dicey time, that's really comforting as well. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington on the other side, Jeff Calkins, show 92.9 FM ESPN.